Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into episode 3 this week of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform to get 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. You can also check them out as well on LockedOnEagles.com. And I'm always talking birds after the show on Twitter at DiBiase LOE. You can follow my co-host Gino Camilleri on Twitter at Gino_LOE. If you missed any of the last couple shows this week, again, make sure you subscribe. Yesterday, I created a path to a deep playoff run for the Eagles this year, despite being 3-4-1 through the first half of the season, coming off a bye week here as they play the Giants this Sunday. Despite a very up and down, inconsistent team right now that's been just ravaged with injuries on both sides of the football, I still think there's a path to a team that's not only going to just trip into the playoffs because of the division they're in. I do think there's a path to where this team could maybe get at least one playoff win or a couple. It's not something that you should expect. It's not something that's super realistic, but I do think there is maybe a path or two based on how the seeding falls, based on who the Eagles would get in the first round, based on the fact that they're going to keep a home playoff game in the NFL's new potential playoff format. I do think there is a path to the Eagles, maybe not a deep playoff run where we're talking Super Bowl or we're talking the NFC Championship game, but maybe they do get a playoff win at home in the wild card round. Could they get a win in the second round? I did that on yesterday's episode where I kind of did the NFC standings and kind of showed what would be the most ideal path for the Birds, and based on their first round matchup, based on who would be the top three seeds in the NFC. So I did that on yesterday's episode. And then on Monday, we came back off the bye week to get a look at the state of the team right now and the division. So those two episodes are available on any podcast platform. Coming up on today's edition of the show, it is Wednesday, which of course means it's Wentz Wednesday. As we do every Wednesday, we do a Carson Wentz-centric episode. And so, you know, we're coming off the bye week. There's no performance to talk about with number 11. I kind of woke up to this absolute, you know, if you will, shit show on Eagles Twitter. Thanks to Brett Favre's comments a couple days ago. And then thanks to the media asking Doug Peterson about it endlessly during today's press conference about Wentz Foles. Brett Favre told, I think it was, he was on First Take, I want to say. I think he was with Stephen A. Smith, saying that the Eagles back in 2018 should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And you guys know me and Gino, we're not really people that like to add fuel to this fire and continue to talk about this on the podcast 2 years removed now from Nick Foles being a member of the Eagles. But thanks to Brett Favre adding fuel to this fire, and then thanks to the organization and the media failing to put out that fire, I feel like we have to do that in today's show, and I feel like we have to defend Carson, because I don't think he's being defended enough right now on Twitter through the media, and I don't think his head coach did a good enough job backing him up today during his press conference. Again, I don't like doing this during the podcast. I feel dirty. I feel like it's low-hanging fruit that a lot of take culture kind of creates, where this Wentz Foles thing has just been talked to death, but I think a lot of fans can't help themselves but read and listen to the content. You know, that's why the national media still bashes on Wentz, because they know it's a quick fix for some clicks when it comes to the Philadelphia fan base. But, you know, that's not what I'm doing today. I feel like I have to be more objective, because the media, you could see how manufactured that drama was today. The organization just continues to not do a good enough job putting out these fires that Brett Favre is creating, that the national media starts, that the local media kind of supports. And so I want to do that in today's show, because the Eagles are in, look, and again, we shouldn't be talking about this today. Nobody should. Again, it's been 2 years since Nick Foles has been on the Eagles. He's been one of the worst quarterbacks in football since he left Philadelphia. The Eagles are in first place in the NFC East with a big game this week, like the second half of the season starting. It's do or die time for this team, for this quarterback. And so that's what we should be discussing. But again, Doug Peterson did not do a good enough job backing up his quarterback today when he was asked about Brett Favre's comments three separate times. And the media, they gave him, you know, air quotes, an opportunity to defend Wentz. I feel like they were more trying to garner a reaction. I think they were trying to kind of create their own false narrative based on what Doug was saying. I think they expected him to answer the questions the way he did today. But it went down basically like this. You know, they asked him here. I have the transcript. So here was the question. Brett Favre offered the option yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. His comments arguably have a little more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction are to his comments. Obviously, Doug Peterson was Brett Favre's backup in Green Bay in the 90s. And so Doug, instead of backing up Wentz, he kind of instantly said he respects Brett's opinion, said they're friends, but he hasn't talked to him and he's entitled to that opinion. And then the media again asked him a question. They said, just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion. Doug again fails to take the opportunity to defend his quarterback and says, quote, I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion and that's fine. I'll leave it at that. So finally, after a third time, the media just continuing to poke at this, he finally just says that Carson's our guy, because the question was, before this gets, quote, blown out of proportion and everyone runs with this, he gave him another opportunity to clarify his comments, and Doug finally said, Carson's our guy, Carson's our draft pick, Carson's the guy that's going to carry us and lead this football team, and he kind of went on based on that. So it was annoying. I mean, it took him three times to say that Carson was their guy, so obviously a lot of this is on Peterson. He should have just said from the start that look, Brett Favre is a friend, but I disagree with him. Carson Wentz is our quarterback. He's been that since we drafted him and we moved up for him in 2016. But Doug, this organization continues to make it harder on Carson and they continue to add fuel to the fire. They give the media a reason to keep talking about this. They give me a reason to keep talking about this. They give Brett Favre and the national media and all these different personalities more fuel to the fire to keep discussing this topic. It's not just dodging these questions today, but it's the fact that you drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. It's the fact that when Alshon Jeffrey anonymously kept bashing Carson Wentz through Josina Anderson in the media the last couple years, you weren't nearly aggressive enough defending Wentz there. And so a lot of this is on the organization. But at the same time, it was getting kind of frustrating to see what the media was doing today, because I think, you know, with how close Doug Peterson is with Brett Favre, that he wasn't going to really be aggressive here. Even look, again, I would have said from the start, I respectfully disagree with Brett Favre. He's a good friend, but Carson Wentz is our guy. So yes, a lot of this is on Doug Peterson for not just putting out the fire instantly. But at the same time, the media knew what they were doing. Doug Peterson wasn't going to want to bash his friend. He wasn't going to want to make Brett kind of look stupid by scoffing at the idea. He wasn't going to want to bash Nick Foles either. You know, Doug Peterson was the guy that gave Nick Foles a private workout coming out of Arizona when nobody else would. He was instrumental in the Eagles drafting Nick Foles in the third round in 2012. He was instrumental in bringing him back in 2017. And you saw the magical run those two went on together in 2017 and so in 2018. So I don't think this had to do with Doug not thinking Carson's his guy. That's what some people are going to try to twist it as. They're going to spin, the spin doctors are going to go after that narrative. But in actuality, what it was is that Doug Peterson didn't want to make Nick Foles look bad. He didn't want to make Brett Favre look bad while at the same time defending Carson Wentz. And it's frustrating because I know the media knew this would be the reaction. And you even saw a few people there, again, poking and prodding, kind of hoping to create this false narrative. It's very WWE-like, manufactured drama. And it's just frustrating because, you know, a lot of these quote-unquote journalists can't help themselves when it comes to getting attention off Wentz Foles. And so, yeah, the organization failed to defend Carson enough today. But at the same time, like, this is frustrating when you're somebody like me that went to school for journalism and you see what's going on behind the scenes here. You see the spin doctors at work today. And so it's frustrating that Doug Peterson kind of gave them a reason to now run with this. And they gave me a reason to now have to discuss this for, you know, 30 minutes on this podcast. It just, look, in a certain light, 2 years after Foles has been gone, this conversation would make sense. If Nick Foles wasn't one of the worst quarterbacks in the league the last 2 years that's been benched for Gardner Minshew and Mitchell Trubisky, then okay, that would make sense, especially with Carson Wentz's struggles this year. The decision at that point, maybe you could consider pretty close. But even with Carson's struggles this year, the decision still doesn't look remotely close, as if Philadelphia could have made a mistake here. I mean, again, you could see the conversation considering Wentz's up and down play this year, if Nick Foles was looking incredible for the Chicago Bears, or if he held his own as the starter last year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But it's been the opposite. He's fallen flat on his face as a full-time starter. Now in three opportunities that he's gotten in his career, in St. Louis, in Jacksonville, Chicago this year, and at the same time, as magical as those runs were in 2017, 2013 actually too, when he threw for 27 touchdowns and two picks, in 2018, even in those magical runs, he was a magical relief pitcher more than he was a full-time starter, right? He was the Mariano Rivera of all those seasons, coming in for Michael Vick in 2013, coming in down the stretch for Carson Wentz in 2017, and in 2018. But you saw every single moment, and I don't want to bash Nick Foles for the sake of defending Carson Wentz, but it's just not a conversation. It's really not, it's not a credible one that you should consider being something the Eagles should have went another direction with. Every single time Foles in his career has gotten the opportunity to be a full-time unquestioned starter, St. Louis, Jacksonville, Chicago, he has not taken advantage of it. And it's not just that he's been an okay quarterback, because he's a legendary quarterback when he takes over for the Eagles in relief of a starting quarterback. And it would be different if maybe he was an okay starter full-time in Chicago or Jacksonville and St. Louis, but that's not even the case. I mean, when he's been given those opportunities, he's looked like a player that doesn't even belong in the league. So that's the frustrating part is, yes, the organization is just adding fuel to the fire, and so is the media. But at the same time, this just isn't really a conversation that we should be entertaining, and yet here we are in 2020, 2 years later, having to entertain this conversation. And so I felt like today I wanted to be a rational, objective person that contextualizes this, because you're not seeing a lot of that right now. You're seeing a lot of WWE-like manufactured drama, quote-unquote journalism in the national media, and the local media, a couple people today, frustratingly enough, continuing to poke Doug Peterson on this. So I wanted to give my two cents, because woke up to this on Twitter and was pretty frustrated that it's day two now of this conversation, when we should be talking about how the Eagles are going to get a win against the Giants on Sunday and stay in first place in the NFC East. It's do or die time for this team. There's a lot riding on these final eight games. Jobs are on the line. Long-term plans are on the line here, and yet we're talking about Wentz Foles. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Wentz Wednesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, it's sponsored today by Axon Taser. Protecting your family is normally the number one priority, right? But you want to do it safely. Safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse, yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker, and it's often ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser assisting targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your location upon firing. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. It's without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with the promo code NFL to save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. See site for details. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. We're talking Wentz Foles because I feel like I have to be the objective one here, considering the situation that now presents itself because of Doug Peterson's comments today, because of the media adding fuel to this fire that Brett Favre started a couple days ago by saying a couple years ago that the Eagles should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. I think he's crazy. I think you've seen Nick Foles. The sample size is big enough to know that Nick Foles is not a full-time starter. Carson Wentz is clearly a better football player. But at the same time, Doug Peterson didn't defend Wentz enough today, or he took too long to where now the media can run with his first two answers as opposed to the more meaty third answer. And so that's frustrating. So I felt like today I had to come on the show and defend Wentz more than Doug did and add context to this, kind of shine a light into what maybe Doug was thinking, not wanting to bash his friend, shine a light into what the media was kind of hoping his response would be in that way, knowing that that could be his response, and just, again, add context to this, because you're going to see a lot of spin doctors running with this now, especially if Wentz continues to struggle this year. Even if he does, again, like I said at the end of segment one, we've seen Nick Foles be one of the worst starters in the league since he left Philadelphia, so I still don't think it's a conversation that's remotely close to being one that we should doubt. or I should say a decision that we should doubt that the Eagles moved on from Foles in 2018 in favor of Carson Wentz. And it's just, again, I got to do this because I just feel bad for Carson Wentz. I mean, this guy has dealt with more adversity than anyone of his talent and his age through the first 5 years of his career. I mean, no wonder you see Carson Wentz feeling the pressure on the field, trying to do too much, forcing things. It's why he leads the league in turnovers this year. It's kind of easy to understand when you see a quarterback of his talent and proven track record over 5 seasons, and you see, regardless of that, the adversity that he's had to deal with, not just on the field, but off the field. I mean, this was an MVP in 2017 that was stripped of a Super Bowl run because of an injury, and his backup goes on that Super Bowl run. He does another magical run when Carson goes down in 2018. Foles has a statue outside the stadium. You've got anonymous teammates bashing him through the media for 2 years straight. There's hit pieces created about Carson Wentz. Then he gets cheap-shotted in his first playoff game last year, where he finally takes his team on his own magical run, gets taken out in the first couple drives by Jadeveon Clowney in a dirty way. And then the organization, like I said earlier, they continue to add fuel to these fires by not answering questions straight today, by drafting Jalen Hurts, by not being aggressive enough on the anonymous source that we all know was Alshon Jeffrey. So you've got the Foles stuff in 2017 and 2018. You've got the injuries, the anonymous bashing, the organization adding fuel to the fire rather than putting them out. The media never letting up regardless of Wentz's sample size. I mean, you see it this year. Has Wentz been terrible for the majority of this season? Yeah, absolutely. But you can see even what the media does. I mean, they're relentless. The minute this guy has a slump in his 5-year career, they try to paint the picture as this is who Wentz is and always has been, right? And then on the field, he has the amount of injuries and instability he's dealt with over the last 3 seasons. I've never seen a quarterback have to deal with the injuries that Carson Wentz has. I mean, honestly, ask yourself, how many quarterbacks of his talent, A, deserve this, and B, would look as good as Wentz has for the majority of it? I mean, how many quarterbacks could carry a practice squad-like offense to 4 straight division wins last year to make the postseason and deal this year with losing basically your entire offensive line and, you know, different passing targets every single week, every single year? Maybe Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. It's already getting pretty tight. Deshaun Watson. There's like 4, 5, maybe 6 other quarterbacks that could look as good as Carson Wentz has, considering these exterior factors that don't have to do with just his game. Would Nick Foles look good in the last 2 years when it comes to the Eagles' health, when it comes to the instability on both sides of the football, when it comes to the inconsistencies of the play calling and the coaching staff and the bad drafting by Howie Roseman? How would Nick Foles, honestly, ask yourself last year, have looked in that same situation? Drop Nick Foles into this Eagles team this year during that 8-game stretch, considering what Carson Wentz had to deal with. The Eagles right now wouldn't be 3-4-1. They'd probably be 1-7. And that doesn't give Carson Wentz a pass to say that he himself, in his own individual game this year, hasn't been bad for the majority of the season, because he has. But ask yourself, who would do better considering these circumstances this year on the field, the last 5 years off the field? And then ask if he deserves it. If that talented player, a player of that talent, that ability, that age, that proven track record over a pretty big sample size, ask how many other guys would just absolutely crumble or wouldn't crumble in that kind of situation and would thrive for the most part with Wentz for the majority of it. I mean, he's already in one of the most unforgiving markets there is in Philadelphia. Before all of this, before all of the stuff I'm laying out for you happened, Carson Wentz got drafted into the most unforgiving quarterback market, I think, in the NFL. I mean, look at what happened with Donovan McNabb. So you already got drafted into such a passionate fan base, and I don't want to spin that negatively, but when it comes to the evaluation of quarterbacks in Philadelphia, a lot of the times the city is unforgiving, unnecessarily so. So you already came in with that kind of pressure to be the face of the Philadelphia Eagles, and then everything I just laid out to you, how many other quarterbacks honestly would look as good as Carson Wentz? I guarantee you Nick Foles wouldn't look as good as Carson Wentz in the situations he's dealt with. If you put Foles in Wentz's shoes, it would be a totally different story. If you put a lot of quarterbacks in Wentz's shoes right now, it'd be a very different story. I think only a couple other players could do what Wentz has done. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's sponsored by the best tasting protein bar out there. It's Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Super unique flavors for protein bars. Honestly, they taste so good. You think you're eating a candy bar. I'd bring them to the movie theater, honestly, and they're a healthy alternative to a Snickers or a Reese's cup. 19 grams of protein in every bar, only 180 calories as well in every bar. If you go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar out there at Built Bar. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Wentz Wednesday. I'm defending number 11's honor because Doug Peterson didn't do it enough today when he was asked about Brett Favre's comments that the Eagles should have kept Nick Foles over Carson in 2018. And so this is why, I mean, me and Gino have been called Wentz apologists before in the past. And look, I understand. I mean, obviously, though, I think if you've listened to all our episodes this year, we've held him accountable when he needs to be. But this is also, you can understand why we're such apologists for him, because of how overly scrutinized he's been throughout his career, how harshly criticized he's been in times where, honestly, he shouldn't be. And so that's why I feel like we need to go too far on the, maybe sometimes we go too far on the other side. I think I'm pretty objective with Carson, for sure. This year, I've been very harsh on him when he needs to be. I call a spade when that's the case. But at the same time, I feel like we have to defend him more on this podcast because, again, he's just so harshly scrutinized and you know, just unfairly criticized on the other end in times where I think he shouldn't be. I don't know. I wonder when the sample size is going to be too big to deny, right? Where the media eventually just can't spin this, where we can still talk about Foles and Wentz. When will it be enough for Carson? Like, when will he prove himself to everybody as one of the best quarterbacks in football? Obviously, he's not doing it right now. Like, he is, it's fair to criticize what he's been doing this year, 100%. But I just wonder when, because even when he's playing well, and that's been the majority of his career, I think he's been a top-tier quarterback, and yet it's not just the criticism of Carson Wentz hasn't started with this slump in 2020. It's been going on year after year after year. So I just wonder when the sample size is going to be too big to deny. I feel like it already is. I thought 2019, that should have put that playoff run last year, to me, should have put everything to rest. And then Nick Foles' sample size over the last 2 years as a full-time starter. You should have saw Foles flop in Jacksonville and Chicago. You should have saw what Wentz did last year. And I think that's a big enough sample size when you also add 2016, 2017, and 2018, where Wentz was a damn good quarterback pretty much every season he's played. And so I already feel like the sample size is too big to have these conversations about Carson still and Nick Foles, but it wasn't enough. Is it going to be a deep playoff run this year, considering the circumstances, if he turns this thing around and he wins a playoff game? And he, you know, this regular season beats teams like the Seahawks or the Packers or the Saints or the Cardinals. Will that be enough? Does he have to win a Super Bowl, right? Does he have to get the monkey off his back like Steve Young did and he finally beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl? Is it going to take Carson to do something like that? Does he have to win a championship or else he'll never live down this Nick Foles thing? Is that what it's going to take? I don't know if that's ever going to be the case. I wonder if this team around him will ever be good enough like it was in 2017 to get him to that point where we don't deny him anymore. Maybe there isn't that point. I mean, for Donovan McNabb, we never got there. Philadelphia was never satisfied with Donovan McNabb, even after playoff win after playoff win after playoff win. Every year you're making the postseason. You made 5 conference championships. You made a Super Bowl. But it wasn't enough. Donovan McNabb raised the bar, a certain level of expectation. And so for the city of Philadelphia, for the media, it was championship or bust. And so I wonder with Carson if he in 2017 and 2019, if actually that didn't help put things to rest, but that raised the expectations, that raised the bar on top of what Nick Foles did in 2017 and 2018, raising the standard for Philadelphia quarterbacks and for the success level of this organization, that maybe now a championship is all that's going to take. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's a deep playoff run this year. Maybe it's just a playoff win for Carson Wentz. Maybe it's just him playing consistently well over 10 years. If you ask me personally, he's already done enough to where, not that I'm saying right now he's not struggling, and not to say I'm not concerned about him right now, and not to say that he's some Hall of Fame quarterback that's top 3 in the league, but he's done enough throughout the 5 years of his career for me to say, for me to not entertain this Wentz-Foles debate anymore. For me to come to the conclusion that he's one of the most talented quarterbacks in football. And that's where I'm at. And so a lot of people aren't there, but that's where I'm at. And I just wonder if any others will ever get to that point, if they'll ever be satisfied with Wentz. And you should not, that's not to say you should be satisfied with Carson in 2020 and what he's doing right now. But again, the criticism of him, the I think, unfair criticism of him has been going on now. It's not new in year five. This has been going on since he got hurt in 2017. Louis DiBiase signing off right here on Wentz Wednesday. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show on any podcast platform for 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. And I'm always talking birds on Twitter after the show as well, at DiBiase LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow for Crossover Thursday right here on Locked On Eagles.